I'm always a big fan of numbers. I love to see what statistics come out of things. Of course, every time I stop and think about what statistics come out of any given set of numbers, I always have to remember the same thing my father told me over and over again. Statistics don't lie, but liars make statistics all the time. So, you know, keep that in mind. Mother's Day is great, isn't it? Mother's Day is a wonderful time. Flower industry benefits. It is the single biggest brunch day of the year. Restaurants love Mother's Day. Restaurant workers hate Mother's Day, but restaurants love Mother's Day. Do you know what Father's Day is known for? Yeah, me neither. It's a telling fact, isn't it? We love our mothers. They always get us to do stuff for them. But what about our fathers? Something missing there. It is a kind of a curious thing. It actually kind of builds if we look at the readings today. Consider for a moment David, King David. He has everything. He's king of Israel and Judah. He is the big guy. He's close to God. He is described as a man after God's own heart, brought up from the shepherd's fields, given everything he could possibly need. And he takes from somebody else. And there has to be that moment, that question, where we ask, what did he really lack that he had to take from somebody else? It's even what's even asked of him directly. Nathan the prophet says to David, he says, look, God says to you, I made you king of Israel. I rescued you from Saul when he sought your life. I gave you a big house that you needed. I gave you authority and status and position and power and wealth and fame and everything. What did you need that you had to take from somebody else? What great thing were you lacking? More curiously even, he took from his own. Remember that Uriah was his soldier in his army that he was supposed to care for, that he was supposed to lead, that he was taking responsibility for. He took from his own. And it asks the question, what could you possibly need? Curiously enough, you know, he takes the wife of one of his soldiers. I don't really know how many women he needs in his life to tell him he's doing it wrong, but apparently he didn't have enough. So he needed one more apparently. It reflects a danger that any of us can have when we get stuff. When there's this danger, there's this temptation to not be grateful for the gifts that we have received. To see the gifts that we have and to become focused on what we don't have instead of learning to be grateful for what we have received. It's even just as simply expressed in the gospel today, isn't it? The Pharisee who invites Jesus to come and have dinner with him. Obviously, the Pharisee has some position. He has a house. He has the resources and the means to host a dinner, to bring these people in, to invite these people to have this event. And this woman comes. This woman who doesn't get a name in this particular gospel. She's just a sinful woman. Curiously enough, she's not just a sinful woman. It's not just that she knows that she's a sinful woman. Apparently everybody knows that she's a sinful woman. So her sin must be public as well, which is doubly distressing. And here she comes to this Pharisee's house, and she gets in, and she comes to Jesus. And of course, the first thing on the Pharisee's mind is apparently sin is a communicable disease, that apparently if you just touch somebody, you know, you can spread that sin. Because he says, you know, if this man were really the prophet he says he is, well, then he wouldn't let this woman touch him. And the truth is that she knows exactly who she is. And Jesus knows exactly who she is. But you see, she knows what she did wrong. She knows what she is missing. She knows that she is lacking that particular something, and she seeks to be grateful for what she does have. What she has is an opportunity to seek reconciliation with God for the things that she has done wrong. What she has is this chance to beg for forgiveness. Now, she commits to certain customs that were very reasonable customs of the time. If you think about it, there are no cars. Everybody walked, and they wore sandals. Not because it was a popular fad, not because, you know, college students had really, you know, taken over the craze of the adult world, but because that was all they had sandals. And as is common for people who walk on dusty paths, sweat a lot because it's hot out, and only wear sandals, their feet are really gross. They're disgusting. And so when you host a dinner in Israel, there is a custom, at least in the time of Christ, to offer the opportunity to wash your feet. You had a place where you could wash your feet before you came into the dinner, so that at least you didn't have to feel so gross. And yet the Pharisee didn't offer that, which is unusual in and of itself. There's another custom that any time in Israel that they brought someone in, you receive a guest, you greet them with a sign of peace. Now at the time it was referred to as the kiss of peace, something that would be very strange to us in our current culture, but would have been the standard norm, the kiss of peace, that greeting of peace. And yet Christ points out, he says to the man, look, you didn't give me the proper custom. He didn't even give me what's polite. A place to wash up. A place to have my feet washed. The greeting of peace. See, I think the Pharisee, much like David, has great gifts, has these wonderful things in his life. He has received many good things. But he's lost that sense of gratitude. He has not properly developed his attitude of gratitude that will bring him to that place where he recognizes what he has and is grateful for it. Consider it in our own lives. We live in an incredible nation. I mean, it's got lots of flaws, and I'd be happy to discuss flaws at a separate occasion, but we do live in an incredible nation. Remember that none of us had to duck the police to get here. None of us are going to be arrested for being Catholic today. Not that I know. We get to gather in a climate-controlled environment. We don't have to sweat it out just because the temperature gets too warm we don't have to freeze just because it gets too cold. Well, some of you will have to freeze because I'm, you know, sweating enough up here, so I'm going to bring temperature down. But, you know, aside from that, a little bit. We live in a place where we can gather without trying to get permits every time we do it, so that we might give worship to God. We have clothes on our back. I know that because none of you walked in here naked. We have this great gift of who we are as children of God. We have received many incredible things. I'm sure the list could go on for each and every one of us. And so there has to be that question that we have to ask ourselves. Am I grateful for what I have received? Or have I lost sight of it? Like the Pharisee, like David. And begin to focus on what I don't have. Instead of stopping and thanking God for what I do have. This week is an excellent week to be grateful. We can be grateful for the many gifts that we have received. We can be grateful for our fathers. Whether we knew our father or we didn't know our father, we can be grateful we had one. Whether he was a good dad, a bad dad, or something in between, we should still be grateful that we had one. Remember that many, many families today don't have a father. More and more children are going to single parents, and more often than not, the mother gets custody, and we go without fathers. This is an excellent opportunity for something to be grateful for. Do something nice for your dad. It doesn't have to impact the economy. It doesn't ever have to show up as a social statistic. Fathers very often will do a lot more things without ever actually looking for acknowledgement, because they know it's just something they're supposed to be doing. That doesn't change the fact that we should still thank our fathers for these things. Growing up, I always thought that, you know, there was something nice we should do for dad. You know, we give mom nice things for Mother's Day, and she told us not to, so we should definitely do something for dad, because he didn't say one way or the other, so we should do nice things. We thought about breakfast in bed, but when my father ate the same cold and dry cereal every morning, so because I took the bowl upstairs actually doesn't make a big difference. This got further complicated by the fact that my father gets up at 3:30 in the morning, which would mean you'd have to get up at like 3 in the morning to get breakfast in bed. And my father never turned on any lights in the bedroom in the morning because he didn't want to wake his wife. So you had to get in there in the dark, because as soon as the light came on, my father was awake. And, I don't know if you've ever been in your parents' bedroom at 3 a.m. in the dark, but it looks a lot more like a mugging than breakfast in bed. So. And it frightens my father dearly to death because you stand between him and the bathroom, and he's not expecting someone to be standing between him and the bathroom at 3 o'clock in the morning. So that didn't work out so well. So, you know, we discussed ties, but, you know, at a certain point in my childhood, my father brought all of the children together and did ask the question, how many ties do you really think I can wear? And so we gave up on that idea as well. So ultimately, I thought we'd try and do something nice. I tried to sort all of his tools, but, well, let's be honest, I was young and I just sorted them by length. So, yeah, you get where that goes. And whatever you do, don't sort his bookshelf by color of book, because that is not any well. But do something nice for your father. Be grateful for the gifts that you have received. And remember, it's not about what we don't have. It's about the many gifts that we do have. And if we take the time to thank God for those things, maybe we won't be so concerned about the other stuff.